Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, we do have something we've got to discuss, Mike Bell.
It's going on. It's real. The struggle is real. It is Dukes and Bell, and as you guys know, normally we have Craig, CCV, at CCV on Twitter. Craig Valentino does a great job as our engineer. But it's one of those situations, and for those younger guys, it's one of those classic, famous sports analogies, which maybe doesn't translate to younger generations, but there was a guy named Wally Pipp, and he was a great first baseman for the Yankees. He took a day off, and then Lou Gehrig plugs in, and then the Iron Horse plays for 2,000 zillion games, and you never heard of Wally Pipp again. Reason I bring this up is Craig's good friends with Jahi, who's working the board today.
I like to say, Jahi!
Jahi! And Jahi, who's also a dad. So the thing has changed now. He's got to support a family. And now, I got to be honest, Jahi's effort today has been maximum. And it's almost like he's trying to push Craig out. You feel it? I mean, it's got to break his heart. He's doing such a good job, and he could potentially win this job. Because remember, Craig is a probationary hire, and here this kid comes in, Jahi, and he's just doing a fantastic job. He's nailing it.
Yeah, Craig's been auditioning for this job for over 800 days now, I think. Close to it. 750 or something like that. Jahi! Keep doing good work. Yeah. I think Mike's on to something here.
I mean, and I don't even mess around by disrespecting him by calling him Raheem, you know, or Sharif. Remember how I used to do that in years
past? Of course.
Yeah. This kid has won the respect of the staff. And Craig, I smell a little Wally Pipp right here.
All right. That's a good analogy, Mike. I think you're on to something. And Jahi, as you know, I always tell you, don't screw this up.
And by the way, one last note before we get to the college football blitz and talk about the dogs. I want to apologize to Squid. I bogarted some of his miso. It's a high energy version of whatever. What is this stuff, Squid? Mio, whatever the hell this crap is.
Miso.
Whatever this is. It looks like urine in the bottle. It's not a very flattering color. It's kind of a day glow yellow thing.
What's it do for you?
Apparently it's some kind of energy.
Okay.
So I don't know where, I mean.
Well, you do have a little pep in your step
right now.
Get
ready. Hey, get ready, because it's coming now. Just like, you know, we had to wean you off those energy drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Carl would come in here, and he'd have like a 60-gallon jug of like some kind of like monster energy drink. And you'd be like, and it's coming. Now, this will be me in an hour, so get ready.
All right, yeah, you kind of overdid it. Bo, it's kind of funny, because Bo goes, how many squirts did you use?
Well, I got a heavy hand.
And Mike's like, I think I went 6 or 4. And Bo goes, you're only supposed to use 2.
So basically, I've just drank the equivalent of like 6 Red Bulls. So anyway, get ready for the fur to start flying here on Dukes and Bell in about 3, 2.
I love it because Bo's like, that's expensive.
So I owe you $4, but Billy, I'm sorry.
Hey, quick reminder. Fantasy football players, we've been telling you about it. We're inviting you to come out and hang out with us with our Fantasy Football Summit at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Saturday, August 24th from noon till 3. All right? It's not going to take up your whole day, but what it is going to do is get you ready for your fantasy football draft. Panel discussion, mock draft, Q&A. Brad Evans came on the show yesterday. Money.
Great. I mean, if you missed it, man, we went like lightning round. And he gave us a lot of great pieces of information.
Brian Baldinger, we talked about Baldy putting that info out there today about our O-line and how we looked last night against Quinnen Williams and the Jets. But he works for NFL Network. He's going to be a part of our panel. Liz Loza, you're going, Dukes, who's Liz Loza? Look her up. Fantasy Football's own live. That is her show. It's Fantasy Football Live with Liz Loza. Guys, come out, hang out with us. We'll be out there. For more info, go to 929thegame.com. But it's going to be cool.
Yeah, week from Saturday, we're going to have some beers, have some wings. We're going to basically the entire upstairs at Twin Peaks and Buckhead all reserved for us.
All right. Oh, you didn't know that, Bo? Bo? Oh.
Well, now what?
Nothing, Bo. You know what? You guys are terrible. He did the typical guy thing. Liz Loza? Let me see who's just... Guys are terrible.
Bo, we don't objectify women in
no,
the broadcast field.
Not at all.
Holy cow, she's hot.
Okay, you know what?
So you know what? You might want to.
You know what? Let's talk dogs.
No, no.
Let's talk dogs.
Images. Click on yes.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
I'm getting out of this quickly.
That's some sass-matass right there, Jack. All right, I don't like
it. Yeah, I've been down this road.
I mean,
before.
We can all learn about fantasy football and we can have some fun while we're doing it.
It never hurts.
Right.
But that's not our thing. You said it, Mike. We, stay with me, We don't objectify women.
But she's got this sexy kind of like blonde Marissa Tomei thing
here,
going.
Here he goes.
I'm telling you, man.
Anybody else you want to compare it to?
Just letting people know. I mean, if you weren't interested in coming down, perhaps now you are, to Twin Peaks next week on Saturday to join us in our fantasy party.
All right, man, let's start first with some dog news. It is always brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBox Electrical, 770-901-2500. You want to go do the man cave? These are the guys to call. Go to BrightBoxElectrical.com as well.
It's like six dudes in their car. Dude, I'm driving. I can't look it up.
No, it's like a blonde Marissa Tomei. Oh. Very, very, very pretty. And great information. Great information.
That's the important thing, Mike. That is the important thing. D. Swift was back for the start of Thursday's practice. You know, he missed part of Tuesday's workout, and everybody's like, what's going on with DeAndre Swift? There was no indication that Swift is back in the number one spot. Now, we've talked a lot already about Zamir White, Zeus, that's his nickname, but Swift's injury history is well documented. Mike, I think, and I've said this, if he stays healthy, D. Swift, not only is he going to be in the NFL, like Sony Michel before him and Nick Chubb and others and Todd Gurley, but also I think he can do something really special at Georgia this year. I think they're going to give him a lot of touches, even catching the ball out of the backfield.
Think about Swift is, and Squidbilly mentioned this in his sheet, and what a tremendous prep sheet it is today, is the thing with Swift is they kind of slow-rolled the information on the injuries with him last year.
Yes, they did.
So, and remember, Zamir White should be certainly well-rested. He had his own knee injury. We know about that. I mean, that's a guy there was so much hype around, and he's been kind of on the back burner. You've got Cook. You mentioned earlier, Harry and seemingly been there for 7 years. You know, and he's like Johnny Dawkins on the bench with Coach K. But, yeah, so you got some guys that can tote the mail. We know the offensive line. We've been talking about that all week. You had the the coaches all SEC team and the all, you know, national preseason. Dogs are basically just dominating. It's like Alabama and Georgia and Clemson. Go figure. The top three teams in the country.
All right. We've been talking a lot about this as we make our way around college football. I'm going to tell you what Nick Saban had to say about the best player quarterback that he's seen. But Tennessee, Mike, announces alcohol sales. So all of a sudden in the last few weeks, we've seen Vandy. A&M jumped on board early and said they were going to do it. Now we're seeing Tennessee, okay? And I get it. Dog fans are going, well, what about us? Well, that's a great question. But Wednesday morning, Tennessee announced that in an effort to enhance, I love this, the fan experience at home games, they're going to implement alcohol sales at Neyland Stadium.
Well, now it's got a whole new meaning, right? Once two strangers climbed on Rocky Top looking for a moonshine steal. Well, they have to go looking for a moonshine steal. They go to a Quick Trip. They go to a racetrack and get it in now. I mean, this is great. I think Georgia, as we said, and again, I've lived here 22 years, and people always go, you know, Delta's ready when you are if you don't like it. The point I'm getting, we want to live in the best city, the best state, and there's things that are happening around the country that people are dragging their feet around here. One is gambling. Again, two of my favorite vices, and drinking.
Well, Mike, that's the devil. I mean, you know.
Well, yes, I know.
You know we can't have gambling
we
here.
We are literally the buckle on the Bible Belt, but, I mean, a lot of other cities are and towns, we talked about it, Vanderbilt now in Nashville, a great town to go do your thing anyway, and now up there at Neyland Stadium, more and more people are realizing there's revenue you're leaving on the floor, so go pick it up, go make some cash, and find a way to do it. Again, you can do it any which way you want, with family-friendly zones and non-alcohol zones at Sanford Stadium. But when you've got 92,000 people and a chance to make millions of dollars every year, go for it. I mean, it'll be like anything else, Carl, in football. It becomes an arms race, and you want to keep up with the Joneses, right?
Yeah. When I said that, it kind of reminded me of Dana Carvey. Could it be Satan?
I can't wait. I'm gonna get that email from that Presbyterian minister who always lights me up. I get this guy.
You guys are always talking about gambling and wanting to put our state in a situation. Could it be Satan?
I'm gonna pray for you, Mike. I worry about you.
No, I'm just everything in moderation. We have a thing called Uber, or just pass out like a gentleman. It's what we used to do in the old days. But, man, why not do it? I mean, Neyland, if ever there's a place in bio, my God, the way they've been playing football before Pruitt got there, they'd be driving you to drink anyway.
Yeah, it's going to enhance, and I love that because it is true. In an effort to enhance the fan experience, okay, I'm with it. And I'd hope to see the Dogs jump on board at some point. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our dog report as we talk college football. I want to get to this because I found it interesting about what Nick Saban had to say, Mike. He was asked, who are the best quarterbacks you've ever seen? Saban responded by saying, Elway, Marino, Brady, Trevor Lawrence.
How about them apples?
Yeah, and he said Lawrence, by the way he played last year against us, I got to put him right there. And then, obviously, you know, they wanted to know more. But isn't that an interesting list? Now, Elway and Marino, and if you don't know, that's the 83 draft. If you don't know the history of it, you know, this was the quarterback draft. And obviously both of those guys are special in their own right. Brady on another stratosphere right now because of the Super Bowl rings. But I'm telling you guys, and I've been saying this for the last year or so, Trevor Lawrence, even back when nobody thought he was going to jump in there and start over Kelly Bryant, Mike, his arm talent is different. And you saw it displayed last year. Clemson doesn't win the national championship without his vertical throwing ability,
right,
his touch. And now you got Nick Saban going, yeah, Trevor Lawrence, man, he's one of the best I've ever seen. The kid was a freshman last year.
Maybe Nick Saban's going to lobby the NCAA for Lawrence to be able to leave early. You know, because this dude is, I mean, Sunshine is the real, Georgia's own is the real deal. You know, everybody knows that. NFL scouts are already salivating for this kid to get up to the next level. But that's interesting, though, that he would throw that out there. But that's, I mean, is it gamesmanship? Is it legitimate? We always look for an angle with Saban, but that either way, it's just a guy telling you what he thought he saw. He saw a guy in a national championship game as a true freshman, looked like a rock star.
Yeah, and when you beat him, that obviously that helps. But I also think Saban, who's seen and is a defensive-minded guy, saw how his team got picked apart. And I'm sure he watched a ton of film on this kid before they played, and he was like, wow. You know, so it's one thing to see that and go, well, we can stop it. And then you get out there and there's nothing you can do about it because he's making all the throws. Hey, guys, as we talk about what else is going on around college football, Florida-Miami, Mike, discussing a home and home. Is this good or bad?
Well, it'd be one way to fill up Hard Rock Stadium. Usually the only way you can do that is when Florida State plays down there. Miami fans, the U, all about the U, Carl.
All about the U.
Unless, of course, they're not winning. But no, the Miami, Florida, that's cool to see the Gators getting serious with this because for years they were ducking Miami's punch, and now they want to get back into that. That's great. I think it's cool to see all the, you know, the big three in that state, you know, kind of completing the circle, if you will.
I tweeted this out, Mike. I want to get your opinion on this as we go back to Tennessee real quick. A newly single Tennessee fan posts a ridiculous Craigslist ad. He's looking for a female companion.
That.
And if you haven't seen this, this is one way to shoot your shot, guys, because that's what I think is going on here. But he puts this ad out and he says, this may seem crazy, but here he goes. My girlfriend just broke up with me a couple of weeks ago, so I find myself with an extra ticket to each of the University of Tennessee football games. I'm not looking for a relationship, merely a lady that would be interested in accompanying me to a game or two. The group that I tailgate with are all couples ages 40 to 60.
Okay.
He says, but must behave in a respectable manner. No drunks, no drugs, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
He says, must be willing to tailgate for most of the day or the evening. And I have a parking pass as well. I arrive early. I stay late. Plan on 68 hours. So he lays all of this out. You must be a Vols fan. Sorry, but I'm not wanting to sit next to a gator or a dog or a cat,
right,
or a door. He says, and if you have favorite tailgate dishes that you'd like to share, that's bonus. So this guy basically puts this out, and then he says at the end, "Would you, if you like to chat or meet prior to going to any specific game, let me know and tell me why I should pick you." Isn't this an interesting way to get over your girlfriend or your ex?
I mean, and there'll be some folks out there. I mean, is there a picture of what this dude looks like? I mean, does he look like Harvey Updike? Does he look like a tool? I mean,
I don't know.
You meet the guy and he looks like the people from The Hills Have Eyes. I mean, you know, I mean, he's going to get some traffic on this bad boy, but you still wonder, you know, she could be everything. Tennessee, you could be everything from could be from a 2 to a 10, but again, Carl, maybe he'll find true love.
Yeah. Do you think he's not looking for a relationship or at least a hookup?
I don't know why guys do this. I got a buddy down in Naples. He goes from marriage to marriage, jumps from frying pan to frying pan. Get out there and play the field for a minute, man. Some of these guys got to have some. They're like they're nesting creatures. They've got to have a codependent. Just go do your thing, man. Have some fun. But this is a great way to get started.
No doubt. All right, man. You can check it out. I tweeted it out as well if you want to see it. Hey, coming up, Braves make a move. Is it going to help us? And the Dodgers are in town. We'll talk about it next. What can we do against the Dodgers? Everybody's wondering. We'll find out because the Dodgers are in town. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Hope you're having a great Friday. Big shout out again to Rise Up Barbecue. Brought us some barbecue earlier today. Catering and events. And the email's out there on my Twitter if you want to go check it out. But the guy's incredible. I'm stuttering because he's absolutely incredible. And he brought food today, but then come to find out, as I said, Jarvis and Bunker, and I think Big Hughes had some of this guy's stuff for the holidays.
He came by and saw us at Military Appreciation Day. We're doing the broadcast up there at Mercedes-Benz. And in case you're wondering,
big Falcon fan, too.
Right. I mean, the corporation, the corporate knuckleheads, they frown on us soliciting for free food. But if you do come up to us and you solicit and just, hey, we'll bring it. And we go, yeah, it sounds good to us.
He brought, I think, some ribs, brisket, sausage. It was unbelievable.
You but he's got all this. Your cornbread.
The cornbread was good. Mac and cheese and all that stuff. So, again, a big shout out to Rise Up Barbecue, catering, and events. All right, guys.
Like, for instance, if a guy right now is in his car and said, you know, I'd like to go get Dukes and Bell out an ice cold six pack of Hey Man and try to bring it over here.
Really?
I'm just saying. I mean, I don't think we have a problem there.
No, I never have a problem drinking my own brew. Right. But tonight, Mike, you try to look past last night. And right. If you missed it last night.
You got to just laugh it off and say, yeah. I mean, now granted, the two of his last three starts have been subpar. Last night, he admitted it. There's no mystery to it. And Julio was big. You know, he's big picture. Julio Teheran, I didn't have it. I knew it in warm-ups. I just didn't have it. And that's going to happen over the course of 30 starts in a year. That just happens. It just, unfortunately, you know, you wanted to keep the Mets down and not give them any hope and sweep them. But, you know, you start off your first at-bat, like double, single, home run. Okay, that's all she wrote.
Six runs, 1 1/3 innings worth of work. And then, whoop, he got yanked. So he never gave us a shot. We lose 10-8. But we scored 8, guys, but we were down 6-0. And, you know, we make this run in the 9th inning, Mike. And, again, it speaks to our lineup. Guys didn't give up. They were hitting dingers even late in this
Acuna,
game.
Acuna, Freddie, Donaldson all go yard last night. So for the Braves, the fans who stuck around because you're so used to those late inning heroics, you almost got the payoff. But, unfortunately, the Braves had just dug too big a hole.
All right, what about now, tonight, as they get ready for the Dodgers? Mike Soroka's on the hill. 10-2, 2.32 ERA, and we'll tell you more about what to expect from the Dodgers. But here's the deal. This is the best team. This is the team Mike and I have been saying all year. That's the team we've got to compare ourselves to.
Them and the Yankees have the best winning percentage in baseball. I think like 19 games up in that division because the Giants are the next closest at 500. So the Dodgers are the gold standard every year going to the playoffs and the World Series. You know, we know about Bellinger and obviously Kershaw and the great pitching rotation, all that. So, yeah, these are the guys you measure yourself against. Last year, you know, it was one of those great days. And if the Braves, we hope that we're on the cusp, Carl, of another 10 or 12-year run with this young nucleus of stars. I was lucky enough to be at SunTrust when Acuna hit that grand slam in the Dodger playoff game. It was still it's just electric atmosphere. You know, we talk about, you know, certain moments in Atlanta sports. That was one of them. But now we got to get these guys, you know, in the rearview mirror. We got to find a way to beat these dudes. Not sure we got the horses necessarily this year with the bullpen problems. And by the way, Carl, Adam Duvall and Camargo get sent down to Gwinnett. Duvall, such a great start, and then he couldn't sustain it. Remember we talked about how great the batting coach was doing with him? And then Duvall just kind of hit the wall. Camargo just can't do what Dansby does in the field, so they get sent down. Bryce Wilson comes back up, and we pick up Adany Echevarria, a journeyman, best way to describe him, shortstop. So a fielding percentage, Carl, of .979 for his career. He's a .254 hitter. He's played for 7 clubs, was with the Mets and the Yankees for a cup of coffee this year. He was out there on the float. So the Braves looking to get better defense until Dansby comes back. We pick up Adany Echevarria.
Here's the thing about Echevarria that I think we take for granted with Dansby. When Dansby was struggling with the stick last year, and again, we didn't know how severe that wrist injury was, and now, you know, this year he comes out just, you know, hitting the ball like crazy. But, Mike, that's the first thing, and we've said this. If Dansby was going to hit .250, then I needed him to be a gold glove guy, right? He's hitting better than that and has been all season long. At one point was leading the team in RBIs. It's Freddie now who has 98 on the season. But Echevarria comes in, and they're not looking for him to drive in runs. We got enough of those guys. I just need you to make the plays late in games that Camargo screws up, that we've seen other guys screw up.
Charlie, everyone loves Culberson, but he's just not as slick a fielding shortstop, you know, as Dansby. That's just the reality. And when your bullpen is struggling, you can't have guys muffing stuff, blowing double play balls, and that's what happened the last week.
Get out of the
end. So, you know, Echevarria is from Cuba, man.
Hey, man.
Okay?
Okay.
Oh, come on, no banana ball, man.
Okay.
So, anyway, he's here. He's a good fielding dude. And if he's got anything left, we'll see. But he's, as we said, he's bounced around 7 clubs in his career.
I don't think it can hurt. I really don't. And again, this is where I commend Alex Anthopoulos. He's not sitting on his blank just going, well, we'll just see how we fare.
Right.
Things are not going right. Things are not working. You make changes. Now, it may not always work out, but this, Mike, that I love about this dude, as far as our general manager, just simply not going, all right, we'll stay the course and see how it goes. Meanwhile, your gloves potentially are losing you games. You can't do that. So we'll see what Echevarria has as he joins the Braves. Now, as far as the Dodgers are concerned, they may have the two best players in the National League. Cody Bellinger is as good as anybody. He may be the MVP. 40 home runs. Freddie has more RBI, but this guy is electric. And Mike, he's in the middle of that lineup. again, do you pitch to him? We talk about Acuna. Do you pitch to this guy?
Well, Bellinger has been just raking, and you know, as you mentioned, the 40 home runs, the average. I mean, he does it all. I mean, this is a dude that certainly, you know, you talk about the Dodgers' long term success. They've got a guy. They kind of built this nucleus around, and they augment that with some of the free agent moves the same way the Braves have kind of done it. Yeah, but this guy, left-handed hitter, that's what you worry about, especially with that short porch and right, Carl.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good question. I mean, if you get down 2-0, then maybe you just give them – you know what? You take your base, Sparky.
I just think there are some guys, like right now, Acuna seems to be in this groove. Well, you don't come out and throw a first-pitch fastball. And for Bellinger, you don't throw him first pitch fastball either. You know, you just have to pick your spots. And I think if you have a guy in the lineup, Mike, that you feel like, okay, that guy can beat me on any given night, well, don't let him do that. So that's why I think, you know, this strategically, this is going to be interesting how Brian Snitker and the Braves approach this lineup against this Dodger team. I want to tell you guys, man, they scored in the last three games, 33 runs, outscored the Marlins 33-2. 33-2. We struggled to get a split a week or so ago.
And that's why, you know, as the Braves kind of hit the wobble right now, that's why when you guys, why are you guys getting upset about losing the Marlins? I mean, because they all add up, buddy. It's 162. At the end of the day, we still got a 5.5 game lead in the East. But you don't want to give away games. And that's like the one that really ticked you off about Keuchel down there specifically. Tonight, though, the Braves going to throw Mike Soroka against Kenta Maeda. Get it right? I always screw up his name. Maeda?
Yeah.
And so he's good. The Dodgers are going to throw some other dudes at us. I'm looking at the lineup. We got Ryu coming up on Saturday and Sunday. You know,
he's pitching.
It's now undecided. But for a minute there, it was going to be that guy who looks like Carrot Top. You know, the new kid, the 6'6" red ginger. That dude. So right now, we're not sure he's going to go on Sunday.
Okay. But we don't see Kershaw.
That's good.
Yeah. We're not going to see Bueller. So they have a really good rotation. Their starting five is really good. And that's without Rich Hill right now. So
right.
He'll be back hopefully during the playoffs. Yeah, Maeda, is going to pitch. So, man, here's the deal. You get tested. Let's see how good we really are when we play a team that's way over 500, that's way out in front in the West, that a lot of people are picking to go to the World Series. And, Mike, if you win this series, and here's the other thing, side note to Acuna and the MVP thing. If he plays well in this series, This is one of those series that people will be watching, you know? And I'm not saying Acuna has to be Superman, but he just does what he's been doing. If he's throwing guys out, Mike, making plays, stealing home runs or whatever it is, if he gets on base and stealing bases, it will get noticed and will hopefully continue to give him some momentum. Now, if he has an amazing series, let's just say he goes deep in every game, then, yeah, the buzz is going to get a lot bigger for him. But these are the series that differentiate guys in an MVP race.
And look, we know what we've got with Acuna. You've touched on it. I mean, doing the things in the field, and maybe that doesn't, you know, some of them did make SportsCenter this week. The guy is a freak. We get it. But, you know, the thing about Yelich and Bellinger are batting, you know, 319, 329, 39, 40 home runs. And again, for some baseball writers, you know, the average, you know, being over 300, and we think Acuna's going to get there too. He's right now just hovering right out of the 298. But, yeah. As you said, it's a great spotlight for him to show what he can do and hopefully get that. I'm not saying that's the magic number, but a 40-40 in a 300 season it's and hard. Your team's that's going to playoffs?
Hard to overlook. That's why I say that to me is the thing that will put him in a position to not be overlooked by people who might say, look at what Bellinger's doing. Look what who's the other? Yelich.
Right.
Look what they're doing. And you go, wait a minute. We got a guy that just did 40-40 in 2019. It hadn't been done since 06.
Right.
He's the fifth guy in Major League history to do it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to give that guy the MVP and his team's going to the playoffs and his team won the division?
I know. I'm just telling you, Major League Baseball's all got a nice marketing campaign with Yelly versus Belly, Carl. So we're kind of retarding to the party. By the way, Dustin May is the big redheaded dude that I could not remember the name of. He's got the crazy flowing locks. Kid's out of Justin, Texas, daddy.
He's not making any money, man. He's only like making like 200 grand. I mean, Kershaw's making like 30 million, and he's been one of their better pitchers, believe it
or
not.
But the dude just looks like an X-Man. Looks like a mutant. So we may see him on Sunday, depending on how they play with it. Dave Roberts plays with the Doyer rotation.
Hey, quick reminder, join 92.9 The Game this Sunday starting at 9 p.m. at Restaurant 10 Sports Bar on Northside Drive. It's across from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. At Restaurant 10 Sports Bar, it's for Atlanta United, guys, in the Portland match that's going to be there.
Right,
it's the watch party. So if you want to go check it out, more information on our website at 929thegame.com. I know some of you are just getting in the car. You're going, it's Friday! Yes, it is.
Yeah, baby. And I am really high on whatever Squid Billy gave me in this bottle.
Well, that's because you put too many squirts in there.
Hey, now.
you're going, Dukes and Bell, man, what did y'all think about the Falcons? Oh, we're going to tell you at 5. But next, Steve Coonan joins us, Hawk CEO on Dukes and Bell.
Yes, he does.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Time to check in with the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. This is Catching Up with Coonan on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, last week we got word of what the Hawks schedule was going to look like. We got excited because now we know when the season starts. Our first home opener at State Farm. Saturday, the 26th of October against Orlando. And then we started scanning over the rest of the schedule, Steve Coonan, who is the Hawks CEO, who joins us on a weekly basis, guys. And Mike and I were like, oh, check, yep, oh, that's a good one. Oh, so did the NBA do us any favors with this scheduling, you think?
Well, I think the NBA as a whole, as we talked about in June and July, with more teams competing, did us a huge favor. Are there, you know, there's a few, I mean, we don't love a back-to-back at home with San Antonio and Chicago. We don't love that we're not playing Thanksgiving week or Christmas week at home, except we got a great game on the 27th against Milwaukee. So there's a few little moans and groans from the peanut gallery over here.
Right.
But all in all, it's a pretty good schedule. And there's some really good teams coming in. And candidly, for the first time in a few years, people are coming to see the Hawks. They're talking about the Hawks, and that's
right.
What it should be.
Can't wait.
So the Hawks will be there opening night, October 26th, against those Orlando Magic.
And I know we have so much fun, Steve, speaking with you all the time, you know, just having a blast. But real quick, the business side of it, because the guys ask me all the time, are you doing the flex packs this year? How are season tickets being sold?
Season tickets, we do have the flex pack this year. Okay. We've got all kinds of great products that fit every schedule because, you know, 41 games is a lot for folks.
Right.
But we've got a lot of my buddies have gone in and bought packages and split them between themselves and bought season tickets. And, again, the great thing is there's not just one game you want to go to. There's lots of different games you want to go to. And season tickets are up 74% this year. So.
Nice.
The guys are doing their job.
Well, thank you. We do our part. It's Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, but you're doing your part. And I think, you know, everybody in the organization is everybody's excited. It's funny, Steve, because to your point about, you know, wanting to see the Hawks, I'm running into people, and yes, football is upon us, and we know how big football season is for most folks. The Braves are relevant, and you know, with the playoff run here, it looks like Atlanta United's heating up. And I'm running into guys who are going, man, I can't wait to see Trey and Collins and, like, our new additions. It's really interesting to hear that this time of year, where usually it's around, you know, December, where people really start that conversation about, oh, the team has some buzz.
Yeah, I will tell you, that's the power of stardom. And I think we've got potential, you know, superstars. And I do think that that has a significant impact on the optimism for the team. And, you know, watching some of these guys, watching Trey, I think we lost the game against Chicago. We had 49-16 in quadruple overtime.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, so I think that that component is new. And Atlanta needs stars. You got one in Ronald Acuna. I mean, but I don't know, you know, how he'll cross over or what he'll do in the community. Where I do know John and Trey want to be part, want to work with local companies, want to continue to be visible, want to be out, you know, and about in the town. They're not, you know, hiding somewhere.
Right.
And I think this is a star city, and I think we've got some burgeoning stars, and hopefully our new guys will break out, and it'll just continue to build.
It is our man, Steve Coonan. I mean, I know. I guess you can comment on this because he's already had a contract. But you hear about a guy like Boogie Cousins because, you know, we hear so much about the crazy, you know, salaries and how it's just like a rocket ship to the moon right now, how much guys are making. But here's a guy that never got the big payday because he always got hurt at the wrong time, and it looks like this could be curtains for him now.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly sad. He gets traded at an All-Star game where he's got a Gulfstream 5 on the tarmac that he doesn't know what city to fly to. You know, after the game.
Crazy.
He was set up for a supermax contract in Sacramento, $230 million. Gets traded to New Orleans, tears his Achilles in New Orleans, and then recovers, goes to Golden State, gets hurt during the playoffs, and now working out to be part of the Lakers for that one-year contract to be special. and tears an ACL, it's just beyond cursed. Now, I mean, in fairness, he's made a tremendous amount of money, especially right. compared to all of us, but it is kind of sad that he was not able to, I'll say, capitalize on his full potential and market value because of injuries. And, you know, that's the fragility of sports. That's one of the reasons these guys make so much money, is because it can be over.
Yeah.
Very, with you know, a moist floor, and it's over.
No doubt. You know, I tell my friends all the time, God willing, I can do this for another 25 years if I want. If I had a 12-year career in sports, which is what we're talking about on average, right, for the greats, you're going to maximize it as much as possible. I mean, there's something about, hey, guys getting as much as they possibly can. Now, as fans, we bellyache because sometimes we think they're cheating our teams. But at the end of the day, this Boogie Cousins thing is a prime example of get it while you can.
Right.
Because you never get that money back. He's never getting $230 million back now that was on the table at one point.
Yeah, you know, there's an interesting kind of belief system in the NBA, and I'll give you an example with Al Horford. You sign your rookie contract, you have no choice. That second contract is really your security contract, you know. And so Al signed with the Hawks, this is before my day, for 5 years, $60 million, right. Just like Dennis signed with us for 5 years, $65 million, something like that. And then after that, they go after winning a championship or potentially another super-duper payday. But that second contract is that security contract. And so Boogie was getting ready for the second contract. Mm-hmm. You know, so unfortunately, a lot of guys, you know, never get that second contract. The superstars make it 12 years. Most make it 3.8.
Right.
And in football, it's even less.
Right. And either way, I'd blow through any of that money, regardless, Carl, if I got the, you know, the rookie deal or the big enchilada. Hey, speaking of big money, you're a Georgia alum. Yeah. And this was, I just went on StubHub before you came on with us. There's tickets going for $4,200 each. As a Georgia fan, as a guy that went there, I mean, again, you're a big macha in the business, but do you think we're going to see a lot of Georgia fans just they can't resist the temptation to put these tickets up, so we'll see a lot of Irish fans when they come to town in September?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
The cheapest ticket right now, Steve, the cheapest ticket on StubHub is $1,200 right now for the Georgia-Notre Dame game.
You know what's kind of sad about that?
What?
It takes the fans out.
True.
You know, it takes the fans out, and we're going to need home field advantage. But that's pretty spectacular. I'll be curious to see if that same phenomenon happens at the Georgia Dome when Tech plays Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know, is it Notre Dame traveling? Is it local people who want to go see it? Because right. I remember my son went to Notre Dame, and they had a huge Georgia contingent
yeah.
who flew to Chicago, partied, got on buses, went down to South Bend, Indiana. So I don't know if they're coming back or if it's different people. I mean, if from what I understand, it's CBS 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. I don't think it gets more special than that.
No, it doesn't. Hey, Steve, as always, thank you so much. Schedule is out, guys. Ticket information, where do they go? Hawks.com?
Hawks.com. Okay. Or call into this radio station for more information.
That's true. You can't do that. Steve Coonan, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week, guys. Hey, coming up, Falcons play their third preseason game. What does it all mean?
Because I'll tell you what it means.
We have some issues up front, and we got some things we got to talk about, my man. We'll do it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.